Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Vanderbilt takes on Tennessee in the first of three today. You can listen to pregame beginning at 4:15 and first pitch is at 4:30 right here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. And joining us to preview that big series is our friend Mitch Light of The Athletic. So, Mitch, for those of us who may not have been paying close attention to these two programs leading into this series, give us a lay of the land, set the stage for where these two programs are as we enter this pivotal series.
Well, you know, looking at the standings, they're in the exact same spot in the SEC at 14-10. As far as kind of the national landscape and all of the bracket projections, you'll find Vanderbilt probably as a 7 or 8 national seed, Tennessee 9 or 10 right behind them. So they are in very similar positions, Adam, which 3 weeks or a month ago you would not have said. Tennessee got off to a great start in the SEC. Vanderbilt's start was fine, 500-ish in the SEC, but Vanderbilt coming off that series win over Alabama, and Tennessee, you know, unthinkably has lost 3 SEC series at home, which is just, you know, one of the more surprising developments. So even though they have identical records right now, one program, you know, at least feels better about itself than the other one.
I was reading a preview of this series by Aria Gerson in the Tennessean. You have the top 2 teams in the country here in terms of strikeout rate. Vanderbilt number 1 at 31.7%, Tennessee number 2 at 30.6%. Aria mentioned in the story that, quote, Vanderbilt's pitching staff isn't so traditional. What's unconventional about the makeup of Vanderbilt's pitching staff?
Well, it's not the, you know, I don't know if Aria meant from a traditional, like, Vanderbilt one where they've got the no doubt about it first round ace. Well, J.D. Thompson, probably be a second or third rounder, has had his moments, is definitely a quality Friday night pitcher. It's not as, there's not as much star power on this staff. It's more strike throwers, which you would assume if they strike a lot of people out. But previous Vanderbilt staffs have also, I guess, you know, probably walked a lot more guys, a lot more hard throwers, mid upper 90s. This staff, like I just said, they throw more strikes. They've got some guys with some great stuff and some great movement. So again, it might not have that elite pitchers, but I think it's probably one of Tim Corbin and Scott Brown's deeper staffs. And one thing, too, that Aria has talked a lot about this year, too, is they're not afraid to give up the solo home run. They just don't want to walk people. They don't want to put on base. You know, in this college game nowadays, there's a lot of home runs, maybe not as many as the last few years. But if you don't walk people, don't give those cheap, you know, free 90s, you can live with the solo home runs. And that's kind of how Vanderbilt staff goes about its business.
Previewing Vanderbilt's trip to Knoxville, big series between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. So let's talk about hosting, Mitch, and what potentially is out there for both of these programs, who, of course, their aspirations every year now are the highest, right? They want it, especially from the fan bases. You can't help it. Once you've won it, you get a taste of it, you want to go back every year because it's such a magical thing. And one of the things that is a great road to Omaha is to play at home the entire time. So where do both of these teams sit?
Right now, both teams, as far as hosting in the first round, which would be the top 16 teams, are in very, very good shape. You know, Vanderbilt, like I mentioned, is 14-10 in the SEC. Vanderbilt's got the higher RPI at 5. Tennessee is probably in a slightly more tenuous spot for 2 reasons. Their RPI isn't as good. It's 13. And for good or the bad, the baseball selection committee really adheres to the RPI closer than like the basketball one to net and all that stuff. So RPI is very important. But Tennessee's issue, I guess, would be the schedule. After the Tennessee series, they go to Arkansas. And I think Arkansas is the best team in the country. I've got them ranked number 1 this week. You know, they'd lost 3 straight series before sweeping Texas. But from a balanced pitching hitting standpoint, they're really, really good. So there's more pressure probably Tennessee in this series, because if they were to lose 2 of 3 and then go to Arkansas, hosting is not guaranteed. I think if they win 2 of 3 and don't get swept at Arkansas, they're still in really, really good shape. So, you know, like with most series, Willie, it's just you want to win 2 of 3, you just can't get swept. The math in college baseball really starts to bite you when you get swept.
So let's talk. You do a weekly column for The Athletic. It goes sort of around college baseball, and it's very informative for those who like to start following college baseball a little bit more this time of the year. You should follow Mitch on Twitter to get that, at Mitch Light. Mitch, the SEC, we know college sports are evolving. We have you on every week during college football. We know NIL is becoming such a big thing, and the SEC is the richest league. I saw in your column this week, you think there's a scenario where 14 out of 16 teams make it to the NCAA tournament. So what kind of year are we talking this year in the SEC relative to other years?
It's interesting because, you know, obviously it's a banner year. It's very, very good at the top. You know, you look at the rankings every week, five of the top six, five of the top seven. What's happened in the past few weeks is some programs that got off to really bad starts, you know, Florida and Texas A&M, who are both, you know, preseason top 10 teams, Texas A&M preseason number one. They've gotten hot and they've really solidified themselves. But the development last week, which really helped the SEC's quest to get 14, was Mississippi State sweeping Kentucky, going from 7-14 in the league to 10-14 in the league. Now, what that did is it made Kentucky's spot not so strong. Of all the teams in the league, their RPI is at 41. So they come to Vanderbilt to close the season. So their closing schedule isn't easy. And one thing about Kentucky is they do not play Missouri. And, you know, we can talk about Missouri 0-24 right now. So I think this is the best the league has been and maybe ever. But the interesting thing is it's got two really bad teams. Like usually if Missouri has been the last team in the SEC or whatever team is in last place, Auburn last year. Auburn was a good team last year that lost a lot of close games, and I don't have it in front of me, but their RPI was probably in the top 60 or top 70. Missouri's RPI is 158 right now at 0-24. South Carolina is 5-20 with a 65 RPI, but if you've seen their scores lately, I mean, I think they lost 24-2 last night. They are really limping to the finish line. So one thing the committee will have to do with the unbalanced schedules is if you're looking at a team like Mississippi State that's 10-14 and six of their wins have come against South Carolina and Missouri or five of their six, how does that compare to other teams nationally that maybe don't play in such a good league but have played a tougher in-conference schedule? So there's a lot of factors to look at, and then I'm kind of rambling here, but then if you're going to compare a team like Vanderbilt to other teams, Vanderbilt's the only team in the SEC that does not play South Carolina or Missouri. Now, they don't play Texas or LSU, so they don't play two of the top three or four teams, but there's a lot of wins to be had in the SEC with those two teams that typically is not the case.
Yeah, you can inflate your record for sure if you've got a series against Missouri or South Carolina. Mitch Light is with us. We're talking the big college baseball weekend between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. So, Mitch, let's just set the table for the heat meter between these two programs, because for those that maybe can go back, we know Tennessee won the national championship last year. Vanderbilt has won two national championships under Tim Corbin. For years, Vanderbilt whipped up on Tennessee. Tennessee went through a down phase. They have risen up under Tony Vitello. They've got this brash way of playing that is the polar opposite of how Tim Corbin's teams present themselves. And you can think that's a good thing or not so good thing, but that's just the reality, right? That's what makes this a great rivalry, is you have two very contrasting styles, and you have Tony Vitello who dove headfirst into the new college sports with the NIL and all of that stuff, whereas Tim Corbin, I think, has a lot more of his model that he tried to cling to for a while. He's had to adapt. So let's talk about the temperature of this rivalry as we go into this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if you're going to go like 1-5, I would put it at, you know, 5 being the hottest, maybe a 4.2. I think the fact that both teams are on solid footing and the fact that Vanderbilt's having a good, I'd say maybe a bounce back season. You know, it wasn't a bad season last year, but they were 13-17 in the SEC. They didn't really solidify their NCAA tournament spot until the SEC tournament. So the fact that Vanderbilt ended that losing streak, I don't know if it was 8 games or whatever it was, they lost X amount of games to Tennessee and then beat them in that game 3 here in Nashville last year, then split with them in Hoover. So I think there's definitely a lot of, you know, animosity, whatever. The schools don't like, you know, the teams definitely don't like each other. The coaches are very different. And there's just so much at stake. The fact that it's later in the year, you know, the last two times they played, it's been late in the year. Remember 2 years ago they played in Knoxville and it was kind of midseason, and Tennessee at that point was struggling and turned their season around. So there's just a lot to play for. And I think that almost kind of trumps the, the rivalry part. I'm not trying to diminish that, but it's just so important for both teams because, as you talked about earlier, that hosting, and then if you can get a top eight seed and host the first two rounds. So it's like if Vanderbilt somehow could win the series, sure, they've beaten Tennessee, but really what it means for them nationally, it almost secure a top eight seed nationally. And Tennessee can win two of three or sweep, that puts them, they have a little more wiggle room before they go up to Fayetteville.
What would you say right now if people, again, have been just sort of loosely following, you know the reputation of Tennessee, but they always get everybody's attention with the way they play, right, with the brashness. They're not afraid to show up the other team, to create a ruckus, you know, whatever you want to define it. And they just had one last week. So is it just sort of old hat, or do you think it still has the effect, especially in the other dugout? Right. There have been teams that try to ignore it. There have been teams that sort of get heated up because of it. They try to pull you into that kind of thing. Do you think now that they've done this for a few years, it's a little more the opposing team is ready for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. You know, you mentioned last week Liam Doyle got ejected for – I don't know if he got ejected for the hard tag at the home plate at Auburn Runner. It might have been for what he said afterwards, and Tony Vitello got ejected as well. So, you know, teams take on the personality of their head coach, and Tony Vitello is a very fiery guy and you know, not afraid to bark from the dugout there. So, you know, I don't know if the fact that they're struggling a little bit, that they've lost three home series, if that kind of takes some of the swagger away. You know, there's no doubt about it. The teams in the last few years have enjoyed beating Tennessee, and not too many teams have beat Tennessee because they've been so good. So, you know, it's just I think I saw a quote from Tim Corbin. I'm not sure where he said it. You know, it was the Tennessee, and I'm not quite sure. But it's like you can't play angry. You can't that can't be your motivation. So I think that's probably the message for most visiting teams. You know, you got to go there and sounds like a cliche, play good baseball. You can't. It's not like some other sports where, you know, you can't press when you play baseball. You just got to play your game and let the other, you know, if you don't want them to bat flip and you don't want them to act, then don't give up the home run. So, you know, a lot of that can be in your control, but it's definitely part of the way Tennessee has played the last few years, and they can back it up because they've won a lot of games.
Mitch, last one for you.
Sorry about that.
There was a long, heartfelt Q&A with Tim Corbin at the end of last year, which was frustrating. It was a lower standard for them in terms of results. You mentioned they had a losing record in the league. They got beat handily in the regional. They didn't host a regional. And by their standards, it was a tough year. They made changes on the coaching staff. Tim Corbin sort of lamented what it takes or what it was, what the stakes were in terms of what it took maybe to get a top level player. He mentioned guys asking before they ever played a game, which goes against his standards, you know, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 just to get in the door. We know that's all but routine now in the world of NIL. What have you seen on how he has tried to adapt to try to preserve the way he wants to develop college players and young men versus jumping into the game that you have to play to be successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's trying to strike that balance and whether you can find that balance. There's no doubt that they went into the portal. You know, two of the three starting pitchers, the weekend rotation, are transfers. First baseman is a transfer, a junior college transfer, but a transfer. Starting second baseman is a transfer. They had a big money transfer from Michigan State who committed to Vanderbilt in the offseason and then decided he did not want to transfer, and part of the reason he went back to Michigan State is a big NIL deal at Michigan State, and he's going to probably be a first-round pick. Very, very good pitcher. So Tim Corbin's not hiding from the new reality. He still wants to retain and develop. They have not lost many transfers at all. I think Cam Kozel, who's now playing very well at Arkansas, is a guy that transferred in the offseason, one of the few in the last two or three years that I think that the staff wanted to keep that they did not keep. So there's not the revolving door from a roster standpoint, but I think you will see them continue to try and bolster their roster through the transfer portal. You can't ignore it nowadays. And you know, again, just trying to find that balance.
Mitch Light from The Athletic joining us, looking ahead to Vanderbilt and Tennessee again, which you can hear starting at 4:15 with pregame 4:30 first pitch right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Mitch, great stuff. Glad to catch up. We'll talk soon.
Take care, guys.
Mitch Light joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. Again, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, game one today. Pregame 4:15, first pitch 4:30 on 1025, 1063 The Game. We will take it to the bank. Coming up next, Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063 The Game.